Should we just pray for our time together? God will speak. Let's just pray together. Lord, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come together today as your people. And we do pray that you would give us ears now to hear your words to us. You know, we're all in different situations, and you may wish to speak to us in slightly different ways through these words. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak by your Spirit into our hearts and our minds. Not just that we be learners of truth, but that it would affect and transform our lives according to your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to kick off this morning with a little quiz. We've already had one, a lot of one. I'm afraid I don't have prizes. I did try and rate the food cover to see if you could win this box. So, here's the first question. Who is this? I think I did the other sounds straight. Who is that? Sister Simon, Sister Stitch. I'm not sure who wants to admit it, though. I was going to give you all the clues. I didn't know it would be that easy. But okay, yeah, this is Sister Stitch. Who can name all their songs? That's very interesting. As we read a passage in a few moments, I'd like to listen out for a short phrase repeated four times. It's the phrase brothers and sisters. This is how the writer addresses his readers. So just listen out for that phrase, brothers and sisters. We're going to turn to it now. For those of you who are new or have been away, we've been looking over the last few weeks at the book of James in the Bible. It's written by James, who was a leader in the early church in Jerusalem. And it's written to the new believers, the new followers of Jesus, all over the region. If you want to find it in the Bible, it's on page 1150, or you can follow it on the screen, and Pete is going to come up and read it to us.
So we're reading from James, chapter 5. And start at verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't quarrel against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven, or by earth, or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned.
Jimmy. Now, before we dive in to look at what James is saying in this passage, it is worth pausing at that little phrase I asked you to listen out for, brothers and sisters. At the start of James' letter, he says that he's writing to 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now that's using Old Testament language, referring to the 12 tribes which formed the original people of God, the 12 sons of Jacob, or Israel, as he was renamed. But James' point is that he's writing to all God's people, followers of Jesus in Jerusalem, across the Middle East, and all over the world. So in what possible sense can he call these thousands, or now billions of people, his brothers and sisters? Well, the Bible is clear, that is what we are. It repeatedly uses the language that the people of God are the children of God. God is our Father, and we are his children. More precisely, we are his adopted children. God has chosen in his incredible love to bring us into his family, to give us his name, to bestow on us by his Spirit the family likeness. And if we follow us in Jesus, that is who we are. So as a result, those of us in that family are now brothers and sisters. I spend a lot longer probably just unpacking the implications of that, but it's key for understanding our passage today. And you can see it's key by the fact that James uses it four times. It's key because the instructions James gives only make sense in the context of a family. A family isn't defined by whether you like each other or whether you share a common interest. A family is the people you're born into, or in our case, the people we're reborn into. So in a healthy family, and I recognise that many of us might not have healthy biological families, but in a healthy family, your brothers and sisters are the people you're invested in, for better or worse. They're the people who come under the same house rules as you do. The people who ultimately share the same inheritance as you. So we are brothers and sisters of God's family, living invested in each other, coming under the same house rules and sharing in the same eternal inheritance. That's what we are here, and it's what we are together in the Roman Church. Okay, so what is James writing there to the family, to his brothers and sisters in Christ? And this is what we're going to see today. Four things. Look forward to stand firm in faith. Look backwards to stand firm in faith. Live in harmony as you go on in faith together. And live in truth as you go on in faith together. Now, where do I get those four things from in today's passage? Well, the brothers and sisters phrase is the key, because each time James uses that phrase, he's making a point. Here's a little colour-coded version so you can see each point in the text. Each point has its own brothers and sisters phrase. So let's take a closer look. First up, look forward to stand firm in faith. James uses the example of a farmer. In James' day, all around the world, mankind's most common profession was farming. Today, apparently, only 1% of the UK population is engaged in farming, but I'm guessing in our habits, not many of us here would say we're not that 1%. So the metaphor is probably slightly less relevant for us than it was in James' day. But the point, I think, is really clear. Farmers work, and then they wait. More precisely, they wait for something which is reliable and can be trusted to happen. At least prior to climate change, which was in Israel, the autumn and the spring rains. The rains were reliable, they happen every year, though they're outside of the farmer's control. And the farmers also wait for something which is really valuable, the final crop. Now, I'll try to think of an example slightly closer to home, and all that came to mind was it's a bit like being a Manchester City fan, while Arsenal at the top of the table. You work hard, you put in your effort, and then you just have to wait. You have to wait for the reliable injuries and losses that will plague Arsenal later in the season, at the end of which you can come out on top. You probably have this good prophet. The point is, the good thing is coming. What's the good thing? What's the good thing James is pointing to? Well, Claire's pointed to this already as one of the things we wait for as the people of God, and it's the return of Jesus. He is coming back. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't die again. Rather, miraculously, he left this earth bodily to be with his Father. But the Bible is really clear that he is coming back. And when he does, this world will be wrapped up, and we, as his followers, will dwell with him. Now that is the glorious inheritance that we share together as brothers and sisters, as children of the living God. All the trials and tribulations of this life will come to an end, and we will be with God. But we have to wait. that waiting, we have to be patient. While we wait, if things are tough, we have to stand firm. At the time Jesus wrote this letter, many were being persecuted for their faith, as many continue to suffer around the world for their faith today. It may also be, Jen points to this last week, that verse 7 follows on from verses 1 to 6, which we looked at last week. It might be that some of the church are being economically abused. It appears that some of the rich were exploiting the poor, even within the family of God. But whatever their situation, or whatever our situation today, James is writing to all followers of Jesus, and the message is the same. Be patient, look forward, and stand firm. It's looking forward to the certainty of Jesus coming back and our future with him, which strengthens us to stand firm in faith today. But we can also take inspiration from looking backwards. So we're instructed to look backwards to stand firm in faith. Now there's no metaphor here, but there is the example of the prophets or of the predecessors in the faith, people like Job. Many prophets or messengers of God were beaten, they were excluded, tortured, or even killed for their faith. If you know the story of Job, you know that he lost everything. But he persevered in faith to the end. And James reminds us that as you look back on those who have gone before, many of you have suffered terror, you can also see what God has brought about. God has repeatedly protected and rescued his people. He showed mercy despite their wandering. He showed compassion to meet their needs and to bring them to places of rest. Though bad times, and in some cases horrendous times, happened, they saw that God is full of compassion and mercy. We saw that already today. That God is good, he is faithful. So if looking forward encourages us to be patient, looking backwards gives us the confidence to persevere. Okay, now, whether or not you have children, imagine just for a moment that you're on a long journey. You're off to the seaside with family, and your little Bruce or Mark in the backseat pipes up with the question, are we near there? What do you say? The simple no is a bit deflating, a bit disheartening, and probably going to inflate some kind of tantrum. But the dishonest yes might appease for a while, but will sooner or later be found out. There's no easy answer. But you can honestly and hopefully encouragingly say something like, we've come a long way already, and however far it is to go, we're making good progress. We will get there in the end, and it will be worth it. And that essentially is James' message to his brothers and sisters in this passage, his fellow travellers in the faith. That you are part of a people who have come a long way already. You're part of a people who have known the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And you're pressing forward as the children of God to the day when Jesus will come back, and when by his grace we will go to be with him forever. We will get there, and it's worth the wait. So looking forward encourages us to be patient, and looking backwards gives us confidence to persevere. Now we'll come back to that in a bit, because I'm very conscious that it can sound a little bit flippant to say that God is good, and that might not feel to be your experience of him. But first, let's go on to see James' two points about how we're to travel together as we go on in faith. Now note how both are couched in the context of judgment. The final line of both these bits of our remaining instructions point to God's judgment coming. James' point is to live in the light of that fact, and the fact that God is watching. So what are these instructions? Well, both are again essentially about the tongue, how we use our words, and First, we have don't grumble. Good job. Live in harmony, as I put it, as you go on in faith together. Don't grumble. Don't moan at each other. Don't waste time moaning. If we're a family, it's not all about any one individual. It's not just about you and the things you want. We're in this together, so focus on what your brothers and sisters need too. You might think that echoes the teaching we've heard in the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, Mike was talking to us about not slandering each other or boasting about what you have compared with others. And last week we heard how we're instructed not to proudly build up our own riches without thought those around us. James wants us to live well together as the people of God, to be invested and committed to each other. So he says, stop grumbling and get on with it. Get on with life together. And to make that a bit easier, he also says, be honest and straightforward. Live in truth with each other. Now, we don't know exactly the context or the culture into which James was writing, but the suggestion is that people have habits of hiding behind oaths or kind of supposed promises. Maybe they were swearing by pagan gods or other things which really had no power. So James is ever practical work, kind of cuts through all that and says, it's simple. Just say what you mean and always speak the truth. Now, if that sounds familiar to other messages you've heard from the Bible before, when we were recording, that's for very good reason. We also see, as we go through James, that he draws in much of his teaching on things directly from the Old Testament or from the words of Jesus. So this is what it says in Leviticus, where false swearing and the giving of oaths is forbidden. And this is what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, do not swear an oath at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. James likes to give the summarized version. But you can see where he's getting his teaching from. Now, I wonder how many parents have tried to teach this to their children, or how many school teachers have tried to discipline bad behavior. The thing may be bad, lying about it makes it so much worse. And why? Why is that so important? Well, it's simply because where there are lies, there can never be trust. And trust is foundational to good relationships as brothers and sisters. I'm sure we all know that. I'm sure we all know that from our experience. I'm sure we all know, or perhaps even painfully experience for ourselves, relationships breaking down. Not because of a lack of love, but because there's no basis of trust. And if we're to journey on together in faith as brothers and sisters, we have to have trust for each other. Which means that we need straightforward honesty and truth. So James says, live in harmony, encouraging each other rather than grumbling as we go on in faith as brothers and sisters together. And live in honesty and truth as we go on in faith as brothers and sisters together. Now I want to put these four things together just for a moment to see why they all come here together as one kind of section. So, who knows what this is?
It's a crow's nest.
Oh, yeah, it's a star. What I was looking for was that little round bit, that is a crow's nest. And who knows what a crow's nest was for one of those?
It's a lookout.
It's a lookout, right? Fantastic. Yeah, it's a focus spot, the other way, it's a lookout land, whatever it is, it's around you. It's the place you get to see your position in the broader scheme of things. So, here's the modern movement. Replaced with a bit of radar and satellite technology rather than the puppet shell boy on top of a mast. But we're also fallen and imperfect women. None of us have things perfect. It is only by God's grace that we are His children, and only by His grace that we have each other to journey on in faith together. James is writing to a church that is struggling. It's a church that is struggling to go on in faith, when the chaos and persecution are battering the community from the outside, and when there's a chronic sickness of sin, selfishness and pride weakening the body on the inside. So how do we go on? Well, with two things: perspective and together. Perspective and together. James wants to take us up to the top of the protest and show us our place in the grand scheme of things. He wants to show us where we are now in the context of where we, as the children of God, have come from, and where we, as the children of God, are going. He wants to inspire us with perspective on the past, which gives us confidence to persevere. God is good, full of mercy and compassion. And He wants to encourage us with a perspective on the future, which gives us strength to go on, that we will go to be with Jesus forever. You can say that He wants to shift our perspective from what is happening to us to what God is forming in us and what He's prepared for us. Now, we're all in very different situations. Some might say they're riding the journey of faith with joy. Others would say it's like a roller coaster. Some might say you feel a little bit like a truck deep in a coal underground. But we go on, and we go on in faith together as brothers and sisters. So let's find a harmony, positively looking for each other's good. Let's go on in simple and straightforward honesty and truth towards one another. May we all know the God who is full of compassion and mercy, and the God who will bring us into a glorious inheritance. And by His grace, may we travel there in harmony and truth together.